And ladies and gentlemen, he's one of the all-time greats, my buddy, Mr. John Wayne.
You're listening to the John Wayne Gritcast with me, Ethan Wayne.
The hell I was.
We're talking all about the life and legacy of my father.
John Wayne.
Mr. John Wayne.
John Wayne is the United States of America.
Slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's go.
Hey, everybody. I'm still here in Kanab, Utah. But I'm talking to Ben Christensen and Dusty Sousley. Ben is a content creator and photographer that we've known for a few years. He came up with a terrific tagline called Living My Own Western. He didn't grow up on a ranch, but he loves Western lifestyle. And his mission has been to make a fun and creative Western film. So we're all pitching in down here to bring that dream to life. We start filming tomorrow. And I thought we'd have a little conversation with Ben and Dusty today before we get started. Hope you enjoy.
I like what you said when you're like, so, man, my mind's going a million miles an hour. I've been trying to arrange all this stuff, but here I am sitting on the porch, staring out at juniper and pine trees, and it's real. We're here. We're here and we're filming.
I can't believe it, because like I was saying, I'm in the creative industry a bunch, so my mind's always turning and creating, and I have this weird mind where I just gotta keep going, and I don't want it to ever stop because that's why I do what I do. And then combined with that, and my family, my wife, my four kids, then all my other clients, but my crazy obsession and passion for the Western lifestyle and films, it's everything's going. But like I said, now we're here. I'm sitting with you, Ethan. We've been friends for a while now, and you've known my vision, my dream of wanting to do this Western, and now we're here. It's just,
I wasn't sure if the vision of the dream was to do the Western or to make sure that my character dies immediately in the beginning.
Exactly. I was like, hey, the best is when I called you. I'm like, hey, I want to see if you're interested. If you're not interested, it's great, but I have this role I want you to play. I want you to play my dad. And because in real life, my dad has played a huge role in my life in this everything. And you're going to meet him this week.
I feel like I know him.
I know. You're going to meet him. But like, and I thought about my dad actually playing that role, but I kept on thinking about you, our relationship, and us talking back and forth, and our even, you know, same things that we have interest between your dad and then my dad. I feel like we're in the same spot in a lot of ways, and I was like, man, I just want you to play that character. So when I called you, and you were down, you understand, but I was like, hey, you're going to die, though, but it's a good death. You know, you're not some weak character. You're going to put up a fight. You're not crying about it, and you're going to just send me on my way. It's a good, solid death.
I'm going to go back and see your mom.
Yes.
Spend some time with her again.
Exactly.
Where'd you all start? Like, let's go back before Ben and Dusty.
Yes.
Let's go back to Ben as a little boy. Where'd all this happen?
So
what's your first memory?
My first memory is just my dad taking me wherever he went. And my dad had this, he loved the outdoors. He was born and raised in Portland, Oregon. Grew up with horses, growing up. Skiing in Mountain Hood, he did ski racing. His dad would take him on the boat. They did water skiing, just always outside living, you know, just doing all this adventurous stuff. So as he raised me and my four other siblings, so we had five kids in our family.
You got five kids in your family?
Five kids in my family. I'm the second to youngest.
Wow.
Yep.
So, me too.
So it's amazing. So We didn't grow up on a ranch or something in country. We lived in a normal, you know, city in Tempe, Arizona. But no matter how busy our life was or involved in sports or school, my parents always took us out every weekend or on trips. It was centered around camping, skiing, all these things that brought our family together in the outdoors. And that's the time we had, like, some of those great conversations, meaning about life, faith, all those things when it was centered around more of an activity.
Wow.
And instead of just trying to have family time, we just did those things. And it's cool because, you know, parenting is different now than before, but like, it was like my mom and dad had all these things personally they wanted to do, and they just brought all of us along for the ride. So by doing that, it made us all kind of be competitive, but also uplift each other and want to always be good as my dad or my mom and to keep up with them all the time. And they didn't really cater around us. They just did their thing and it kind of brought us together.
Hmm.
And it's hard with me being a parent now. We think about our kids all the time and I feel that's shifted where we're like, oh, what do the kids want to do? Or what do the kids want to eat? Or this, this, and that. But and it becomes harder because the kids don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I don't remember anybody ever going like, what would you like for dinner? It was just like, right? Here's exactly. The deal. But you're, you know, this is what's happening this weekend. Yes. And this is what you're wearing.
Yes. Not all these options. Because kids don't know. We don't know.
They have no clue.
So I would be back from school at elementary school, and I see my dad packing up his big Suburban, had no idea where we're going. And then we'd be there. You'd grab his couple horses, and we'd go in the mountains and horse pack for three days in camp.
Oh, wow.
Or he would have all this climbing gear, and we're all of a sudden going to girls' camp, and I'm his helper, and we're leading all these girls' camp retreat, teaching them rappelling, and I'm just his helper.
Wow.
Or we would go, you know, on a water ski trip or things like that. It was just, we always did that. So I knew, even though I had no idea what I wanted to do for a career, for a living, and it was like a big fear in my family, like, what is Ben going to do? Holy crap. We're just nervous about him. I just knew I needed to do something outside and something I love. And that's kind of just where it kind of started. And it just, from there, I got into...
Did you do high school?
Yep, I did high school. And then as I kind of grew up and getting into high school, I was in the outdoors and doing stuff. I found, you know, in my generation, you know, skateboarding. And then I fell in love with wakeboarding because we would go to the boat a lot. Then I got really into that, so I started competitive wakeboarding and got involved with that, which that was my life for a little bit. And then I kept going from there. Then I, at that time, you know, I was in, you know, just being outside, being all over the place, but I took a pause in my life and I served a mission for my church for 2 years. So I took a break and I got to really focus on what I wanted to think about in life. You know?
Where was your mission?
And of all places, Rock Springs, Rollins, Wyoming.
Really?
And then I was out there for 6 months, and then the remainder of time, of all places, is around Salt Lake. So I got to be in the heart of the LDS faith in Salt Lake, but then I got to be in the most remote ranches and small little towns in Wyoming. So.
And you just got to go door to door and talk to people.
Yep. And it was cool because the whole focus in there, why that was such a learning experience for me was figuring out kind of where I came from, but learning everyone's different lifestyles, cultures, and the whole purpose of that mission was just to talk with people, help people in any way. Times we would talk about faith, God, Christ, or sometimes we're just helping people with yard work or dealing with family mess where how can we help or, you know, or loss of family or anything like that. And it helped me to really like take my life, put it aside for 2 years and really think about what I really want after that mission.
Where do you live when you're doing a mission?
Like, so we live. You get assigned to a place. You don't choose. So I had friends all over the world, from Tonga to Australia to Africa, all over the place. And they always laugh when I got my call because I had friends all over the world, and they're like, Salt Lake City, Utah, and Wyoming. And I was like, oh man, at all places, you know. But it helped me realize like, you don't go for the vacation. You're going to just share, you know, to help people. You know what I mean? Share faith and help give.
But when you go to Wyoming, you stay with a family or you're in a hotel?
No, you're in an apartment.
An apartment.
Yeah, but you're in an apartment, and then you get assigned with another missionary that's from somewhere else. So I had like, they call them companions. So I had like missionaries that were from Canada, Tonga, all over Europe and everything, so you got that cultural difference.
All in Wyoming.
All in Wyoming, yeah.
Wow.
So we're all out there. So we got to go to those small towns, and it was cool in Wyoming because I loved, you know, the outdoors and horseback riding. But that was like my first in with the Western lifestyle. So I got to talk with a bunch of ranchers. They taught me a little bit how to rope out there on the mission, just some, you know, fake calves and all that stuff. And
you wearing like a shirt and tie when you show up at the
shirt
ranch?
Shirt and tie, yep. White shirt and tie. Get dirty a lot really quick. So
yeah, I bet.
Yeah, between the heat and everything. So I got to do that, which was...
And is there a car for you? Like, how do you get around?
Yeah, so you get either assigned a car, or they're like, here's two bikes, or if you're in an area, you just walk. So you don't have a choice. That's just kind of like whatever you're assigned to. But luckily out there was a lot of driving, so we had this like little Hyundai kind of car, and we were going on these dirt roads, and we came to some little towns where... We couldn't see anybody, and we see some kid walking across Main Street in his diaper, and we're like, where are we, you know? And then we knock on the door, and someone answers and probably hasn't seen anyone in who knows how long. We're like, hey, we're missionaries for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and we're just here to help in any way, you know, and talk about faith life or anything like that. So that was like a huge, huge part of my life that really helped me kind of find out who I am.
Uh-huh.
And was really built off of that and see why my parents raised us the way we were. And it kind of just like pieced a lot of things together. So after that, I had a little bit more. Still, I was still young after my mission. I was like 23. And I still was, you know, still didn't know what I wanted to do for a career, but it helped me kind of perspective of what I wanted to do. I knew I really wanted a family eventually. I don't know when. And but it helped me just kind of go from there. Then I got to think about my life a little bit. And then just kind of piece things together. So I got it back into wakeboarding a little bit more, but I slowly fell into photography because I started just capturing a lot more moments that meant a lot more to me. Then I had one of my friends asked me, he's like, hey, can you photograph my wedding? And I was like, dude, I can't photograph your wedding. I'm like, I just have the simple camera, I'm no photographer. And he's like, my mom will pay you $800. I'm like,
I can do it.
I'm like, okay, I'll do it. I got it. So I borrowed my friend's nicer camera, but I had a 35 millimeter film camera. I just there partying, you know what I mean, taking photos. And from that wedding, I got four more weddings. And from that wedding, I got more weddings. And I was like, oh, actually, I'm getting paid more through photography than wakeboarding's ever done for me. So I started going to school and taking photography classes, got into graphic design, understand the marketing part of it. And that's where I found kind of what I wanted to get into right there. And that led to commercial stuff, things, and I started really going, you know, hustling and shooting. I found out what I loved was shooting people and natural moments, creating things. So I got into, we eventually, my wife and I moved out to Southern California, San Clemente. I booked some of my greatest, biggest clients there, and then that led me to the outdoor industry. So we moved out to Park City and shot a bunch. I traveled all over the world shooting backcountry skiing, all the outdoor stuff that I grew up doing with my family. We went down in Chile to New Zealand to all the stuff from base jumping, photograph all that stuff. And then after that, we went back to Arizona, and that's when I was like, okay, I'm 8 years deep in photography and doing all this stuff, shooting for everyone else. And I was like, what's my story? You know, I always felt like something, and that's where I really wanted to showcase, you know, my love for Arizona, you know, the Western lifestyle, my vision with the old Western movies I used to watch with my dad. And a lot of people came up to me and they're like, the Western lifestyle or the Western industry, there's no money in it. That's a career suicide, you know, but I just, this itch I wanted to share with it. And I just went to town and I started sharing my vision of my Western lifestyle and photography. And it got a mixture, you know, some people loved it, some people hate it, some people didn't even get the vision, some clients that I tried to pitch it to, they didn't get it. So I started just keep doing it, sharing my vision. And then after a while, people started, oh, I see what you're doing, you know? And it's a learning process too, because I didn't grow up on a ranch.
Sure, yeah.
You know, so it's...
How'd you guys first connect?
So, during that process of showing my lifestyle, of the Western lifestyle and that vision, that's when Dusty reached out to me. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Social media and Charlie Crockett, I think. Yeah. That was our first connection there, yeah.
So was that just to do something with Charlie?
No, he reached out to me first. You said something like, hey, I seen what you're doing, and I'm a huge passion in the outdoors as well and the Western lifestyle. Yeah. He's just like, this is what I specialize in, and I'm here to help. I want to contribute. And that meant a lot to me.
Yeah, because I saw he was always shooting stills, and I was like, that's cool. Like, that's where I started, was shooting stills, and then I slowly found this passion for motion. And so when he kept shooting stills, I saw him messing around with, like, motion. And I was like, hey, I'd love to, like, link up with you and shoot your motion stuff and collaborate on that.
Yeah.
And then, like, 10 minutes later, he's like, call me.
That's how it
and
is.
I called him. I remember I was sitting in the coffee shop. Like, I was like, oh, that was quick. All right.
Yeah.
Had a conversation in the parking lot, and then.
And then did you guys do a Charlie Crockett video, or you just went straight to the Valley?
No. So how that worked is I'm friends with Charlie Crockett, and we did another shoot for this clothing company, Eli Cattleman, and I photographed him just for clothing before one of his shows. That's where we first met, but we clicked and started talking about Westerns. And then he had some music videos and new things that he wanted to basically release soon. Then we had this idea. I'm like, hey, how about I do this music video for you, but let's do it in a different way and, like, almost like a Western short, a 10-minute short highlighting one of your songs. So that's what how the Valley started. That's when I called. I was like, hey, I actually have a project. Me and Charlie are working on this short. You're just going to have to show up and trust me, you know? And Charlie's going to be there. People can add wardrobe, neighbors, and everything. And we filmed everything in 24 hours, thrown together. And it was like a glorified music video, but it's a fun Western short.
Yeah.
So the Valley was the Western short we created, built off of Charlie Crockett's album called The Valley. And it was just this one song, Welcome to Hard Time.
It
was The Valley. Yeah, it was The Valley. And so it was just that Western short, a 10-minute short that we made. And that was just fun. That was the first time that we get able to work together. So
we met at the gas station, and we were like, all right, let's do this.
And like everyone showed it to me, and we went to one of my friend's ranch, and I was like, okay, there's no script. This is what I have in mind. You're doing this. You're doing this. I'm going to be dragged from a horse. You're going to blah, 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 you know? And we had a blast. We all talk about it. Like, that was one of the funnest days.
He did it in 24 hours?
Yes. Yeah, it was absolutely wicked. It was all time.
I kept on checking in with everyone. I was like, okay, we can stop and eat or anything, or let's keep going. They're like, let's keep going. Keep going.
Yeah.
Like, I went to bed probably 2-3 in the morning, got up at like 5, and was just like, all right,
what's left?
Exactly. Then we took that time before we released it. It was a few months as we prepped it and got it ready. But we built the hype about it, and we decided it was cool. Talk about how you put that. He put together this whole in Oceanside of how we screened it, you know?
We produced, we were like talking about how we wanted to release it. It was let's do something special. Let's just throw a big party in the parking lot. And so I found this location. Friend had a coffee shop in his zone, and then just got free beer, some barbecue in there, and then we got Charlie to come in and play a little surprise show, and then we're like, oh man, no one's gonna show up. We got 150 people.
Yeah, that's only 10-minute film, you know what I mean?
And we had I think the final count was a little over 600 people rolled in.
Oh my gosh.
And we were just mind blown.
We were wow. There's something here. And then we play the video, and you play the movie, you're like, okay, that's a huge here it goes. Yeah. But everyone saw where we were going and where it can go, and the response was just amazing. It was kind of emotional for us, because we're this is unreal. And then right when the film done, before we even talked about it, we lit up the stage and Charlie started playing. It was a cool transition. Then after, we all, between Charlie and Dusty and I, we just felt like it was just, the support was amazing. And then that's when I got introduced to Boot Barn. Boot Barn came out with their social team, and they were supportive and wanted to share a story with it. And ever since then, I've had a good relationship with them and more of the Western industry. So the world was ready for more then.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And we were ready. We're already planning the next one, what we're going to do. And then, of course, good old 2020 hit, you know. And then...
Because we snuck that in 2 months before all the shenanigans went down.
Exactly. So we were able to release that. But then 2020 and COVID and all that stuff, which was... not a blessing, but it helped us really sink in over the last couple of years or something to really what we wanted to do now. And how, what difference and what else we want to put to it. And I think that's what's brought us here now, which is crazy.
Well, we're sitting here in Kanab, Utah. If you don't know where Kanab, Utah is, it's in the southwestern part of the state of Utah, very close to the Arizona border, in an area called the Arizona Strip, which is some of the most remote country left in the lower 48. And really sort of also the last landscape that I think housed true outlaws, right here in the Arizona Strip. So it's a cool and appropriate place to do a project like this. And the legacy of the area in Western films is pretty, broad and deep. I'm excited to be here. I haven't had a lot of time to go play and do something like this, and it's just my mind relaxes at the thought of being able to come out here and do this. And be careful, because I might, right as you guys think I'm dead in the scene, I might just pop back up and go, I'm okay. Let's keep going.
Yes, exactly. Let's keep going.
I'm doing pretty good. just winged me, son.
Or right at the end of the film.
He pops up.
He pops up like,
I was just sleeping.
Guys, what? This weird disease that we didn't know about.
Oh, that's funny.
Love it.
So we got Ben's early life, Dusty. Where are you from, Dusty?
Washington State. Grew up on a little island in the South Puget Sound.
Where?
Fox Island, Washington.
I know where Fox Island is.
Right on.
Wow. We have a place in Squim.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Love that
area.
We
run an RV park and a cabin rental thing up there.
Oh, killer.
Yeah.
I love it up there.
Somehow my dad ended up with it, and we've been running it ever since.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's beautiful up there.
What's it called?
Does Fox Island have ferry service or just a boat?
It's a bridge.
It's a bridge?
Yeah, it's a bridge. It connects right into Gig Harbor, which is like the more proper, I guess, town, if you will.
Okay.
We had like a gas station. On the little island.
It's been a while since I spent time up there, but
awesome.
I've been to a couple where you can like take a ferry to one, but then you have to take a little skiff over to the other one. But people still live on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they're still living on these insane little paradise islands.
We had, the island I grew up on had a bridge to it, and then there was a little island off of that, and you had to take a little skiff out to that,
flatboat. And people lived on it?
Yeah, there's like four or five houses on it. Yeah. Lighthouse is the coolest. It's called Tanglewood.
Tanglewood, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, it's a special place. I miss it.
I want to get back up there.
Yeah.
We need to look around. That'd be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to see all that place. And
oh, heck yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
It's awesome out there, just running boats. Like, because that's, like, the one thing we've always bonded on was, like, being on boats, like, all summer long. It's, like, that's all we did up in Washington State as well. So
anytime he's in town, he sleeps on my boat.
Yeah.
And oh, that's cool.
I'm like, can I sleep on the boat?
Yeah,
go cliff jump, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Is the boat running?
Yeah, now.
Oh, good.
We used it in this one music video for my friend Brian Kelly, and we ended up basically blowing both engines, but we got the shot.
Oh,
you know?
Bummer.
But we have one engine fully working, and it's an older boat. That's all you want, though. You want to put out, cruise, anchor up in a cove, fish, swim, come back. So we got one working right now, and then that's scheduled in a couple months.
You can get it in and out of the dock with just one?
Yes. Yep. Easy. Cool. Takes the right captain to do it.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
But, you know,
I'm sure it does.
Takes a lot of skill, but, you know, we got it.
Gets the job done.
Has, like, four remote control boats, like, pushing it out.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, but, man, when that's out on the water, it just shines. It's just great.
Yeah, it looks fun. It looks cool.
And you still got to sleep on it.
Where's the body of water that you guys have it on? What is
so
that?
So it's the Salt River. And
Salt River?
Yeah, the Salt River. And it's... In Arizona, it's dammed up man-made lake. So within an hour, it's about 18 minutes from my house. It's on Saguaro Lake, and then that same river is connected to another man-made lake called Canyon Lake, Apache Lake, Roosevelt Lake.
I see.
And then there's other lakes that are not connected to that river between Bartlett Lake, Lake Pleasant.
But you can go from one to the other.
Yeah, well, no, not by boat. You have to drive to
either,
but it's all within the same river and connected. And that's where we grew up in Arizona, because it's hot as crap there, you know? So either pool party, the river, or go to the lake. And that's, like, Saguaro Lake is my second home. So that's why when I found that boat, now I take my kids there, we sleep there. It's
yeah,
like
it's
my
amazing.
Floating office.
It's amazing. Great for kids, too.
Yes.
Man.
I mean, spot.
And, you know, van life, I kind of moved my vans that I had before, I moved it to the water. So now it's like van life on water.
Mm-hmm. It's the same thing.
Same thing.
Same space.
Exactly.
Same tiny space. So what's the total shooting schedule for LeGrand?
So we're now a week. So the great thing about this project is we purposely, my background and Dusty's background in production, we have a huge belief where every man has a specific duty, and there's times that production can't be too big or it takes away the flexibility. Because when you're out here, you start getting inspired by what you see, mm-hmm. you know? Things change and shift all the time. Even with their script, you saw the script. There's no script. You know, there we have a basic storyline, but we have more. I want the viewer to feel more than hear more. You know, mm-hmm. So it's like those moments, the expressions mean a lot to me. But the way we're doing it, really, it's stupid. It's crazy. In production world, it's not supposed to work, and you should not do it this way. You know, but that's why we feel. The way that we're going to do it, that's what's going to make it extra special. So Dusty and I, our good friend Bo Smith, who plays a huge role in lead bad guy, also AD and wardrobe and authenticity. He's not here with us right now. He's back just getting everything ready. But we sacrificed basically the month of April to make this happen.
Okay.
Because we, you know, I'm funding it. We're putting it together, you know, putting this to happen. But we have life. We have work. Everything, so we were able to block off our life for this period of time. Yeah. But like, Bo's a huge actor. He just got potentially huge role in this upcoming movie and the series. And we just found out we don't have the end of the month. We have now the 24th.
Because of his schedule.
His schedule. And then me, with my commercial photography, I just have this job on the 28th and 29th over my birthday that I'm like, I need to do that. So it's like those things that we're playing with that. So right now we have...
Trying to get the whole thing knocked out in April.
Exactly, okay. In April. So we have... We're in like a week of preparation. We start filming tomorrow, and our hard, basically, wrap date is the 24th right now. But as we schedule everything and what we have, we're good to go.
Cool.
You know?
Cool. I'm excited. I can't wait for tomorrow.
It's going
to
be awesome.
What time are you leaving to go up there?
So we're going to be up there. We're going to go up there earlier.
Yeah.
We're going to try to get there like really early so we can, you know, first just walk through the scenes, camera angles, testing mic, all that stuff. So we're going to be out there through there. And this weekend's kind of special. There's a lot of people that has been inspired by this process and kind of doing it on our own and doing this thing. So we have three amazing, talented. One's a photographer, one's a videographer, and one's a artist, a painter, that they flew in. And I'm giving them the opportunity to visually kind of see this process. So I'm meeting with them tomorrow and talking about this process. And they're coming and helping hand as a set stage. So they're going to be here just for a couple days. So
awesome.
That, you know, means a lot to me, not only them, for other people in the creative
industry. Will they stay up in Cedar City?
Yeah, they're going to stay up in Cedar City. Yeah. So they're going to be able to see that. So I'm going to talk with them. But we'll be up there earlier. But by the time we're filming, we're going to be, you know, the actors call are like around 4:30. And then we're going to go into the evening. But, you know. We want you to show up whenever you want to show up, you know?
We'll show up early.
Yeah, show up early and
go up there and see it.
Yeah, see the scene.
Yeah.
And see where we'd be sitting and walk through that. It'll be great. And then we're going to have this old wagon parked in front of the house. It'll be great. So it's all this, this is a crucial dialogue kind of scene that will, you know, transition to where it kind of goes from there. And that following day, the ambush scene and the established scenes that we're going to do, that's going to be fun to shoot.
Is that ambush at night?
Yeah. So it's going to be...
We're shooting day for night?
Yeah, we're going to shoot a little bit more like that evening, day for night. I love that in the older films. And we test it out, and we have it exactly.
We'd be down in Durango filming something, and it would be like a little area where we're filming like the campfire scene. Everybody's around there. Then you go back to L.A., and they recreate that in a soundstage, you know, and there'd be like dirt and rocks and fake plants and boulders. Yeah. And you'd be laying in the same place. It was really weird.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wild.
It just takes me back to like the scents and smells of the movie sets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine. That is amazing. It's so awesome talking with you with those and seeing those photos and things that you've been a part of when you were younger.
I was just a little kid, you know, so it's like a little kid's memory, but still, you still have it. Mm-hmm. And like a scent, you know.
Yes.
Scent of a light or...
But even the gunpowder from the blanks, you know, I remember that when we, on the valley, and we had those blanks, you know, and planned those out. It was just some of those scenes, you see it in everyone's eyes, like, whoa, we're in it, we're doing it, you know? And that experience alone right there is just amazing, man.
That's
so
cool.
It's so fun.
Well, I'm super excited to be a part of it, and I can't wait for tomorrow.
So everything with... You know, my intro into the Western lifestyle or the Western world through my photography, I didn't grow up on a ranch and I didn't ever knew move cattle or rope calves or anything like that. But I had this love for the outdoors and horseback riding. And so as I came into it, it was hard for me because I had to, you know, I had a certain vision, but, you know, I'm no cowboy, you know, of all that stuff. So it's like, it's nerve-wracking for people who are not from that world to come in there. So when I started bringing my vision, there was some cowboys, some ranchers saw the vision. They're like, oh, yeah, and they open arms. And they just come in, let me show you. And I wanted to learn as much as I can and everything. And then there's some, you know, there's some ranchers or some people are like, you're no cowboy. What are you doing? You know what I mean? All that stuff. So I got a lot of good and bad things, you know, as I first was trying to introduce my vision to the cowboy world. And, you know, it's scary, it's crazy. But there was enough good response that fueled me, and I loved it too much to run away from it, so I kept going. And then through this process, I'm like, you know what? I found out just like anything else, I'm sharing my own story. I'm doing my own thing, you know, and just through what we're doing right now. And so I had this phrase where people ask what I'm doing. I had this phrase all the time. I'm just living my own Western, you know? However it is or whatever it is, it's I've had that. It's that phrase for a while. So one day I decided I'm all look on hashtag if it's used and no one's used it. I haven't seen it anywhere. I live in my own Western. So I created that hashtag and that saying that really represent everything I'm doing is living my own Western. And I shared that. And it's cool because it was more than just my story. Other people started connecting with it, using that hashtag, cowgirls, people from LA, you know, New York, to people that just love it and who's always loved it. It was the central now phrase where everyone got to share the way they're living their own Western. And that's the way I can, you know, even connected with you and with the John Wayne organization. That's the way John Wayne did. I was so inspired by him because he was always so, you know, strong in his opinion and his vision. And what he was able to do is he was living his own Western and own vision, you know, with or without people involved or not, you know. And I see that in you. I see that in Dusty. I see that anyone is involved, they have something they're bringing into the table. And it really inspired me. Hmm. So I got to look at John Wayne and his films and you know, the things that he did where I felt, you know, I'm not trying to say I'm not next John Wayne or anything like that, but I look at him and some of the other inspirational people that have been, they are inspiring to me what I can do, you mm-hmm. know, and share my story and wherever it can go. That's it, you know? And even with the things that he did, you know, with you and his family and all that stuff and his views on life, it's like, it's more than just film or acting or being that role. It's a lot of the way he carried his life that's mm-hmm. fueling me to do this whole crazy thing we're doing, you know?
Yeah. And his characters, you know, they really, living my Western fits. And it's also, you know, he did a great job piecing together, you know, the character traits and the value set of the people who actually walked across this country mm-hmm. to get to California mm-hmm. and dealt with things, you know, as they were going. And, you know, just like anything in life, some things you get right, some things you get wrong, but they're the ones who, you know, were tough enough to literally walk across this country and establish the West. I mean, that's, you know, even Jade, we did a little hike out of town and you just sit there and I'm like, man, they just like got a wagon and put their wife and kid up there and started walking,
right? Yep.
You know, and just coming out to find a place. Come here, Finn.
And it's crazy because whole process.
Get up here. Come on. Finn. Get up here. Come on.
Yeah.
Get up here. Come on. Jump up. Come on. Up. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Come see, buddy.
Yeah. Look at those eyes.
This is Finn. Finn and Dusty's dog, Grit, were like best of friends until yesterday. Showed up. And I don't know what happened, but they did not get along yesterday.
We'll fix it.
Yeah. But even that whole process and, you know, everything they traveled and everything, that's inspiring even to behind the scenes when Dusty and I worked together for the whole production part of it. So the amount of things that have gone wrong already within the first week is crazy, you know? And it's, dude, making a film is hard, especially the way we're doing it. And you know, I've had so many people reach out to me, you know, and support in one way or another, but the way we're doing it, I don't even know if it'll work with, if someone came to me with a script and wanted me to direct a film for some any other kind of movie, it probably even wouldn't work, but it works for Westerns, and that's what we know. Mm. And even with the things that are going wrong, if they can, you know, as they're going across these plains in the valley to move in California, all those, if they can make the adjustments and changing in life and all that stuff, we can make and the changes and everything we're doing on our side in production to still be able to make the film.
To pull it off, yeah.
It takes the right people that can just be sleeping on bedrolls in the house that we rented for the month, you know, and adjustment, no sleep to sleep or wearing multiple hats. It's like there's no prima donnas in this group at all.
That's right. Let's switch hats.
There it is.
Let me see that one.
This was actually my grandpa's hat.
This is unbelievable. This is a John B. Stetson.
Yep.
Wow.
There it is.
How's that?
Oh, that is good looking.
Heck yeah.
There's something about that hat.
This is a really cool hat. Like that, Dusty.
Ooh, Dusty.
Got a big head.
That's between the tall crowns, everything, the details of everything for the wardrobe that we're putting into is so much. I really
like the wardrobe you had. Those are your outfits I saw on the wall yesterday. Yeah, that was a great looking outfit.
And it's coming together.
Yours looked great.
Yeah,
walking downstairs and seeing it, I was like, heck yeah, it looks great.
I'm a little scared of the boots, but we'll see.
Hey, we'll be good. We're going to be getting them
after those
right.
Whites, man. I spent the last month with those whites. They've just turned me into a little baby.
Oh, man, those are hard. The ones that we found, they're going to fit good. Or, you know, worst case scenario, they're going to be looser. So,
cool.
We're good. With the movie, once we're done and we're filming, our goal is we're not going to take a couple years and release it down the road. We're sharing the process through social media as we build it. That's something different too. We're not hiding anything. Mm-hmm. We want to see the world. Let me show the world the process of our film. So when we edit it, we're going to show a little bit of the process of editing and continue to market and show what we're doing. But then we're going to try, hopefully if everything goes well, we're going to try to release it and start our first screenings this winter, fall to winter time. And we're going to, you follow at Living My Own Western, LeGrand Film. Maybe you'll be able to follow that process, but what we're doing after is we're excited. We want to do these screenings in Southern California, Arizona. We have one scheduled in Marfa. Mm-hmm. Stetson was potentially wanted to be involved with one in New York. And, you know, we'll still talk if we want to do something at the John Wayne Museum, which would be awesome there. Yeah. In Fort Worth would just be great because a lot of people involved are from that area too. So, mm-hmm. And we kind of like what we did with the Valley. It was such a great moment. We now want to do one of those releases, but in multiple places for a good while. Cool. And then we'll be able to release it online where people can buy and rent it. And, you know?
Awesome.
Heck yeah.
So that's the plan. But until then, we're going to make a good Western film.
Yeah, let's go do it.
Right on. I'm ready.
We're heading for Cedar City.
Cedar City.
Cedar City.
That's a good drive.
All right, thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the John Wayne Gritcast. Make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you like what you heard, give us 5 stars in the Apple Podcast app and follow us on social media at John Wayne Official.
Slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's go.